Discounts at Starbase One by Android and Ale, read by CookieMom6067. Spock collapsed onto Jim, panting. His body shuddered again, though this time not from orgasm. Jim. He rested his forehead against Jim's sweaty brow, voice heavy with pain. What have I done?
Well, that's not something anyone wants to hear after sex, said Jim.
He grabbed Spock's biceps and gently rolled them both onto their sides.
I thought you wanted this.
A hand slid over Spock's cheek.
Tahila.
Spock leaned into Jim's touch.
I have no regrets about finally engaging in coitus.
I like hearing you say, finally, Jim risked another soft smile.
Your mind, it is so dynamic, so engaging. I felt you reach for me, not only with your body, when our minds touched.
He rolled over, unable to look at Jim, much less speak the words.
Spock, come back.
Jim snuggled up against his back.
I felt your mind touch mine. It was incredible.
Yes, Spock dragged out the ragged word.
Is there a Vulcan social taboo against telepathic intimacy during physical intimacy? Asked Jim.
No, said Spock.
It is well known to enhance the experience.
Jim kissed his shoulder.
So what's upsetting you?
Can you not feel it? Spock's voice was thick with grief.
Feel me.
Jim rested his chin on Spock's shoulder and wrapped an arm around his waist.
I'll be feeling you all day tomorrow, he purred.
Jim, Spock sighed. He closed his eyes and reached out across the connection, tugging lightly at their newly formed bond.
Oh.
Jim sat straight up, anchoring himself with one hand on Spock's hip.
Was that you?
Yes, he said, dejected. Jim's face split into a boyish grin.
Do it again.
No. Spock's voice was barely audible.
The more we reinforce the bond, the harder it will be to break.
Jim gently stroked his hip.
Do it. Again.
Jim, Spock pleaded.
Again.
Spock let himself stride down the welcoming path into the garden of Jim's mind. With each step, flowers bloomed at his feet, while the warm light of Jim's boundless affection caressed his skin like morning sun.
This should not be possible without a healer, he said aloud.
Jim's mind greeted him like a playful Salak cub, happy and eager to bound into his embrace. He wanted to give in, move deeper, make a home for himself in this sacred space, and live here for the rest of his days.
It's amazing.
The beauty of it left Jim breathless.
It was never my intention to inflict myself upon you thusly, Spock whispered.
Now hold on just a minute. Jim stroked a long line down Spock's arm.
I'm not entirely sure I understand, but you're not touching my side points.
Obviously, Spock sighed. And while you had plenty of things to say while you were inside me, he squeezed Spock's ass, none of them began my mind to your mind.
No, said Spock. But I can feel you. I can feel your mind.
Jim reached out, stretching his consciousness into their newly planted garden. Green shoots of sweet corn sprouted beneath his feet, stretching towards the radiant light of their joining. He could smell the rare bloom of desert flowers surrounding Spock, their pollen fresh and clean, anointing them both in the deep yellow traditional to Vulcan celebrations.
Yes,
Spock curled in on himself in shame.
Spock, are we?
Jim knew just enough about Vulcan telepathy to know this wasn't how things normally worked.
Bonded?
Spock's eyes closed tight. After 4 years serving together, Jim didn't need telepathy to know he was silently chanting, I am in control of my emotions. Jim tried to roll him onto his back, but between Spock's heavy Vulcan bones and the tight ball he'd rolled himself into, he only managed to wobble Spock's body back and forth. He playfully glared at the Vulcan as he pulled his legs straight. "I swear, if you weren't my first officer," he muttered under his breath. Spock let his body be pulled into a long line, back flat on the soft mattress. Satisfied, Jim straddled his hips and held both his hands. "That's all it took. Bonding is that easy," he grinned down at Spock. "While unintentional, what I did was an invasion." Spock kept his eyes tightly closed, unable to look at Jim. Jim leaned forward and planted a soft, sweet kiss on Spock's unmoving lips. He nuzzled his way across Spock's cheek and breathed softly into his ear. "Under Vulcan law, this means we're married, right?" Spock pushed Jim back upright. "Rest assured, you have no obligation to me. I am ashamed, Jim. I never intended..." He drew a ragged breath. "This should not be possible. A skilled healer should be able to..." Jim idly patted his chest. "You know, if we're married, then Starfleet can't split us up. They've been trying to give you your own command for over a year." Spock opened one eye. "I am aware. Did you know married captains get a discount on suites at Starbase One? The good suites, too. We could take our honeymoon there." Jim idly twirled his fingers in Spock's soft chest hair. "Captain?" Spock opened both eyes. "Jim," he corrected. "Or what was that word your parents used? It sounds like Ah-Shayam." "Ah-Shayam." Spock hesitantly rested one hand on Jim's shoulder, the other on his hip. "We also get a discount on dry cleaning at the facility next to Fleet Headquarters." Jim kissed the hand on his shoulder. "Oh, and a discount on cruises. Now, to be fair, we live on a spaceship full time, so there is limited appeal in taking a vacation on someone else's spaceship where we're not even in charge." Jim lay a hand over Spock's, gently rubbing at his ring finger. "And I know an Andorian tattoo artist who can draw on our rings, so we don't have to worry about metal bands crushing our fingers when we're on assignment." He kissed Spock's fingertips. "I wouldn't want anything to damage these hands." "Surely, Jim, you cannot be serious." Jim beamed at him through his lashes. "Why?" Spock cocked his head to one side and shot him an incredulous look. "You have avoided serious relationships for the last decade." Jim gently dragged the hand on his shoulder down his chest so it rested over his heart. He slid his free hand to Spock's side, feeling his pulse pounding just over his waist. "I didn't mind following my father's footsteps into Starfleet, but I wasn't about to follow them into marriage. He only saw me, Sam, and Mom a few weeks a year, but you..." He ran his hands up Spock's chest over his neck and caressed his lightly stubbled jaw. "You are literally the boy next door. We share a bathroom on our ship." "I have invaded," Spock protested. "Cut it out," Jim waved him off. "Spock, my darling." His face split into a wide grin. "God, it feels good to say that." He leaned in for another soft, sweet kiss. "How can you possibly believe I don't want this?" "I inflicted myself upon you in a moment of intimate vulnerability." Spock's protest sounded weak, even to his own ears. "Spock, I say this with love. Get over yourself." Jim kissed the tip of his nose. "That is a physical impossibility." Spock's dry tone was all Jim needed to know he'd won. He ran a thumb over the dark purple smudges of his ruined eyeshadow, up along the line of his arched brow. He wanted to see that perfect Vulcan bowl cut must since the day they met. His perfect, precise first officer was naked and messy and his, in ways he'd hoped and prayed, but never really believed possible. "I can think of a few positions where we could give that idiom a run for its money." Jim ran a finger along Spock's jaw, unable to stop touching him now that he finally had permission. Spock's hand slid around Jim's waist. For a moment, he let his thumb stroke the soft, golden skin. "You are not able to view the situation rationally while your brain is flooded with endorphins and oxytocin." He rolled Jim down onto the bed, We will speak of it after you have adequate sleep. Do you come with a dowry? He stretched out next to Spock and draped one tanned leg over his thighs.
Jim, Spock sighed.
Wait. Jim propped himself up on one elbow so he could get a better look at Spock's face. Do I have to provide your family with a dowry? My parents still grow corn on part of our land. Does your family like corn?
Jim.
Spock stretched out the syllable in exasperation. No, you're right. Jim drummed his fingers against Spock's ribs. Vulcan is a desert planet. Will I need to give them a camel in exchange for your hand in marriage? Or two? A breeding pair seems a bit on the nose, but Vulcans do like symbolism.
Jim, please, do not transport dromedaries to Vulcan.
I know a Ferengi who could make it happen. Jim's sly smile lit up his face.
I am aware, since it was I who introduced you to Krunt.
Spock shot him an admonishing look, and it is I who will be contacting him shortly to ensure he does not accept any poorly thought-out commissions from you. I can always consult an admiral the next time we're at headquarters. There's a monthly married officer's poker game I could drop in on.
Spock's eyes narrowed.
You have an unexpected wealth of knowledge about the advantages of marriage for Starfleet officers.
Right, about that.
Jim eyed the pile of mail they'd picked up at the starbase. His was mostly open. On top was an abstract drawing of what was probably fruit. I really thought I'd told you about this.
About what?
Spock propped himself up on one elbow. Well, you know how much child support I pay. Jim nodded towards his mail.
According to genetic tests, only two of those children are biologically yours, Spock reminded him.
I'm the closest thing any of them have to a father. He waved at the thick stack of school art and letters. I'm not abandoning them.
Jim.
Spock watched him warily. Is this why you asked if I come with a dowry?
No, Jim said, suddenly thoughtful. But now that you bring it up.
While our unorthodox and improbable spontaneous bonding does equate to marriage under Vulcan law, before we formalize our relationship in a civic court, my family will insist upon a lengthy and detailed marital and inheritance contract.
I would expect nothing less, said Jim.
But well, before we can pursue that, there's one minor trivial bit of paperwork I'll need to complete first.
Spock raised an eyebrow, waiting for an explanation.
A pink flush slowly crept onto Jim's cheeks. A divorce.
Did you accidentally marry someone you met on your last shore leave? Spock sighed.
Again?
What?
Oh no, that only happened twice. And you know full well those were annulled before our leave was over. Plus, I'm not from a culture that observes polygamy, so those weren't legal to begin with.
A line formed between Spock's brows. Then who are you married to?
Jim took a deep breath.
Bones.
Surely not. Spock's eyebrows disappeared under his must bangs.
He's a single father, I'm a single father, said Jim.
You literally do not have custody rights to any of the children you financially support, said Spock.
Married officers with children get bonuses, Jim continued. Money to spend on the kids, right? To make up for spending so much time away. Plus the kids get priority access to certain schools, free field trips with the Starfleet Junior Corps, and Bones and I get extra shore leave.
You refuse to take the minimum mandated amount of shore leave, said Spock.
Why would you want more?
I don't, said Jim.
But Bones does. He gets to spend so much more time with JoJo this way. And if I don't use my leave days, after 18 months, I can cash them out. That's extra money for the kids.
Omaya is clearly half Orion and half Andorian, said Spock.
And she's doing so well at her arts-intensive middle school.
He nodded towards a watercolor painting of the Enterprise he'd unrolled onto the hotel room's desk.
Spock fell back on the mattress and pinched the bridge of his nose.
How long has your arrangement with the doctor been in place?
Since our academy days, Jim confessed.
He was finishing up his residency around the time I first enrolled.
He was never home, but he needed a place big enough for JoJo to visit or else he'd lose custodial rights, so we got married.
Since he's a father, they put us in a very nice two-bedroom unit over in campus married student housing. When JoJo wasn't there, we each had our own room, and when she visited, I'd sleep in Bones' room. Spock narrowed his eyes. And where did Dr. McCoy sleep? Also in his room, Jim said in his most innocent tone. Spock arched an incredulous eyebrow. It wasn't like that. Jim dragged his hand from Spock's shoulder to his navel. Come on, Spock. How many times have you and I shared a bed on missions? Spock silently waved towards their uniforms discarded on the hotel room floor, alongside pieces of a travel chess set and an empty bottle of Saurian brandy. Fair enough. But how many times do we platonically share a hotel room before this? Said Jim. None, said Spock. I think I would remember this. Jim's roaming hand slid across Spock's ribs, down his waist, over his hip, until it rested on his thigh. His nostrils flared in time with the fresh twitch of interest from his cock. None, Spock repeated, because I always desired you. I did not believe you reciprocated those feelings. Jim pulled Spock's leg over his own and scooted closer until their chests were pressed together. We are such idiots. Indeed, said Spock, for I have fallen in love with a married man. Be reasonable, Jim laughed. If JoJo thought our marriage was fake, her mom could have used that against Bones in court. Therefore, you and Dr. McCoy have been in a clandestine relationship for over a decade, Spock said woodenly. Only on paper. I have my romances. His hands slipped back to glide lightly over Spock's ass. Bones has his, and we both get to enjoy a little extra money for our dependents. And discounts on suites at Starbase One, said Spock. Don't be jealous, said Jim. You're the only one I want to share a suite with. Really? Spock arched a pointed eyebrow. Honestly, Spock, I haven't shared a suite with anyone in nearly a year. He shook his head. I haven't even shared a quick kiss in a turbo lift since, oh my, Starbase 11, and that hardly counts. There were other ways she could have fed off your psychic energy, Spock said dryly. Believe me, Spock, the other ways she suggested would have landed me in far worse trouble with station security, Jim laughed. Why was she the last? Spock's voice softened. Officially? My duties don't leave me time to commit to a relationship, and I refuse to lead people on. Unofficially? Jim kissed the tip of his chin. They weren't you. Spock kept his cheek. And yet, all this time you have been married to a man you describe as your dearest friend and most trusted confidant. I thought you knew. Jim looked away. Really? Spock's gentle voice was free of judgment. All right. I hoped you didn't, Jim confessed. Things were already complicated enough between us. Then I will uncomplicate them, Spock sighed, since you are already in a long-standing relationship with numerous children. Spock shot a pointed look at the heavy stack of children's artwork and letters in Jim's half-open mail. It seems prudent that I procure the services of a Vulcan healer, after all. Oh, no, you don't, Jim laughed. I'm not letting go of you that easily. There's a simple solution here. He wrapped possessive arms around Spock's chest. Spock lay stone still as Jim attempted to pull him close. Enlighten me. We just need to find someone else for Bones to marry, Jim grinned. Spock stared up at the ceiling. I suddenly find myself considering the merits of Kolinar. I'm afraid not, Spock. You're stuck with me now. He pulled Spock's limp arms tight around him. I wonder what kind of wedding presents we'll get. This is not a Vulcan tradition, said Spock. Oh, we'll have two weddings, Jim kissed his chest. One to make your family happy, and one where we can let our hair down and really celebrate. Do you plan to wear your hair up during the Vulcan ceremony? Spock ignored Jim's ongoing attempt to rearrange their limbs. I plan to let your 9,000 Chin Tagai cousins dress me like a paper doll. Jim gave up on dragging Spock's arms around him. He rolled onto his belly and stretched over Spock's lean form, one thigh pressed between his long legs, his chest nearly covering Spock's.
Spock's eyes narrowed. That seems excessive. Fine. Just Amanda, and whichever of Sarek's relatives she likes best. Mothers always want to plan big weddings for their children. It'll be a treat for her.
He rested his chin on Spock's chest, smiling up at him.
My mother is a highly sought-after translator, as well as an instructor of linguistics, said Spock.
And a savvy backroom negotiator. We both know at least half of your father's success as an ambassador should be credited to her having a quiet drink with the spouses of other delegates.
He pushed up on his elbows, grinning. Hey, I bet she could set bones up with a nice doctor.
69% of marriages between physicians end in divorce.
Good point. She's a smart lady, though. I trust her to play matchmaker.
Jim settled back on Spock's chest, his chin resting on his folded hands.
My mother helped arrange my bonding with T'Pring, Spock said dryly. His arm slipped around Jim's waist.
Well, luckily for him, Bones isn't 7 years old. I'm sure she can do better when dealing with actual adults.
Your faith may be misplaced, said Spock.
Watch out, or I'll tell her you said that.
Jim winked. I have a lot of work ahead of me becoming her favorite son-in-law.
You are her only son-in-law.
One arm tightened around Jim's waist, while the other slowly stroked gentle lines from his shoulders to his hip.
Which is why we'll let her turn your Vulcan wedding into a political event, and we'll stand there and smile like the good sons we are.
Two fingers lifted Jim's chin. If we do not fill out the paperwork, no one will know, he said softly.
It's Jim's turn to roll his eyes.
You'll be able to explain away the first 6 or 7 times you're able to find me like a homing pigeon, but eventually people will catch on.
We are already the subject of many rumors.
Spock dragged his fingers through Jim's sweaty blonde hair, while his free hand idly stroked a line along his spine.
I can't tell you how often I've been jealous of the man in those rumors.
Jim rested his head on Spock's chest. If you engage in any public demonstrations of affection or possessiveness beyond your frequent physical contact with me, said Spock,
which we both know I will,
Jim laughed, then confirmation will quickly spread through the crew.
And then Starfleet will find out the wrong way, Jim sighed, so we might as well get ahead of it. The Admiralty will demand a huge public wedding for the sake of good press. We can either make our own plans before we inform them, or we can let them puppet us through what will become an interminable public relations event.
An excellent point, Spock said dryly. Are you reconsidering?
Jim kissed his shoulder.
Yes, said Spock.
I thought Vulcans didn't lie, Jim smiled. I'm in your mind too, you know.
I am not reconsidering, Spock conceded.
I never want to let you go.
He buried a hand in Jim's hair and held on tight, leaning in to press their foreheads together, lips scant centimeters apart.
This simple feeling makes everything else worthwhile.
Jim pushed in for another soft kiss.
With me, you'll be signing up for a lot of everything else, he said gently.
After 4 years as your first officer, I am aware.
Spock leaned in for a leisurely, unhurried kiss.
When they broke apart, Jim was once more breathless. He stared into Spock's luminous brown eyes.
Should my kids start calling you Dad?
Jim, Spock let go of his hair. They are not your children.
Uncle Spock it is, said Jim. I want as many of them as possible at the Earth wedding.
Spock sighed. Still thinking about Kolinar?
Jim chuckled.
There are other celibate orders.
There was no heat behind Spock's glare.
I look forward to learning all about them every time we fight. Now come here.
Jim extended two fingers in the Augusta.
Spock stared at him in exasperation as he stretched his own fingers out to meet them.
A sunny smile lit up Jim's face. He leaned in to brush his lips lightly over Spock's.
We have 16 hours left of shore leave.
He playfully ground his hips against Spock's thigh. Let's reinforce our new bond.
Jim sighed with pleasure as Spock's hand slid to his side points.
His free hand tightened around Jim's. Theirs became a world of soft lips and strong hands as they walked back into the garden they'd created together to lay the foundations of a new life. The end.